Episode number 469 of Global from Asia. Looking to take your e-commerce business to the next level? It all comes down to management. And today, we have none other than the management guru, Mads Singers, joining us. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight-up, actionable advice.
Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of Global from Asia. We're in for a treat with today's guest, Mads Singers. He's been building and scaling online businesses for decades and is sharing some incredible insights today.
Absolutely, Lisa. I've had the pleasure of knowing Mads since around 2013, and I've learned so much from him. I'm honored to have him on the podcast. And he's also a speaker at this year's Cross-Border Summit, which he'll touch on during the episode.
Yes. Let's not waste any more time in the intro. This is an epic interview. After the show, in our outro session, I'm excited to hear more about your experience with Mads and management in your business. For show notes and links, check out globalfromasia.com/Mads. Let's hop into the episode.
Cross-Border Summit 2025 is coming up, and tickets are selling out fast now that summer's behind us. We're working harder than ever to make this event even more valuable with a special bundle box. Expect 2 full days of top speakers, no fluff presentations, and a bundle pack you'll drool over. Lock in your spot for November 3rd to 5th, 2025 at crossbordersummit.com today.
It's my pleasure to have a Global from Asia podcast with a friend and acquaintance and expert in the community, Mads Singers, the people manager. I've had the pleasure of attending his workshops, hearing him speak over the years at different conferences, and actually really excited he'll be sharing with us at our summit this year. So thanks for coming on the show today, Mads. How are you doing today?
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm doing fantastic, Struggling a bit with a tennis elbow, but life happens while we are busy making other plans.
I understand. What, tennis elbow? Sorry, I didn't.
Tennis elbow, yeah.
And that hurt? I guess I don't.
Basically, yeah. I wish it was too much sport, but I think it's more too much keyboard warrior.
Okay. I'm going to go to acupuncture maybe shortly after this recording. I've been putting needles in my legs and shooting electricity through my legs. I think I'm sitting too much too. So I guess we're all too much.
Actually, same I'm doing with my elbow. So
yeah, I love it. I mean, I don't like it actually, but I think it helps. So for those that don't know you, I'll just go through your quick bio. You're the founder and CEO of Mads Singers Management Consulting, extensive experience. What I always tell people is you've worked in Fortune 500 companies in your previous lifetime. And I don't know how long now you've been kind of working with SMEs like me to help them also like take those best practices that you've learned and implemented in large corporations to startups and entrepreneurs around the world. And you have your flagship course, Effective Management Mastery, which is helping people like me. I've gone through your workshops, learning how to use, because I never really had corporate. I mean, I don't want to take too much time about myself, but I worked on Wall Street, but it was totally flat. It was like insanity. Like it was basically animals like throwing stuff at each other. And I was the recipient of the coffee fetching and the paper ticket entry, but there was no manager. I had no manager. Like my manager that was on the books as my manager didn't even work on my floor. He was upstairs in corporate and I would meet him like 2 times a year for my check-in. And I don't even know how he calculated my bonus, but I never saw my manager. So it was just maniacs like those movies in 2004, 2005. So I've learned from you and I think other entrepreneurs might be like me that maybe just kind of jump in head first trying to manage, but don't know how. I know you've helped a lot of us do that. And you're also going to be a speaker at our summit, Cross-Border Summit, November 4th and 5th. You're on day 1, where you're going to speak about effectively scaling to 7 and 8 figures in your Amazon business or e-commerce business, lessons from working with multiple Amazon $1 million sellers. So I'm excited for your speech and this session today. So also you're from Copenhagen, right? Denmark? Actually, I have a few.
Denmark. Not Copenhagen, but Denmark.
Oh, not Copenhagen. I've been to Copenhagen and I went up to the top too. I think I went through to a farm in the north, a friend's friend. I stayed there for a couple of days. It was very cool, like very like modern yet farm, I guess my impression of it. Yeah.
Totally know what you mean. But that's, yeah, Denmark, it's an interesting place. I definitely much prefer it in the summer months, so June to August, when the weather's not too horrific and so on, but it gets very cold in the winter.
Great. And then we'll also see each other in China, or we're both going to be sharing at the Shenzhen SEO conference with our friend
Yes.
JP. So I'm excited. Excited
Definitely.
to see you
Excited for
there.
that as well.
Great. So that's my intro. I mean, there's of course a lot more, but how did you get, like I said in the intro a little bit, I kind of like freestyle, but my impression of you is you worked in like Fortune 500 and now you're working with kind of entrepreneurs. What's your like story, few minute background of that?
I left Denmark at 18. Got a job in a big company, Xerox. And in my early years, I wanted to do IT. So IT was kind of the direction I was going. That was what I was passionate about and all this. And then in my first job, after a few months, I got an absolutely amazing manager. And she just totally changed my trajectory of what I wanted to do. And it became, instead of I want to do IT, I want to do what she does. And it took me a few years of learning and development and so on to sort of start growing in that direction. But that have basically been my passion since I was 18. So for the last 20 some years, I've been very passionate about that. So first corporate with Xerox and IBM, and then the last 13, 14 years on my own. So built multiple companies, own five businesses right now. And yeah, just really love helping people. Like, that's my big calling, right? So love training. Unfortunately, what I see in most companies is that when people hire salespeople, they give them training. When they hire customer service people, they give them training. When they hire managers or when they promote people into management, they do nothing. So my big passion is helping companies who haven't necessarily got some structured leadership and management training, really come in and train them, get everyone up to speed, get everyone on the same page, and have a solid operation framework to operate from a management point of view. And that's definitely, yeah, that's a big thing. Even big corporations need it. There's many, funny enough, the probably worldwide one of the most well-recognized companies for leadership training and development and growth is McDonald's. So,
Interesting.
interestingly, if you're looking to hire good managers, McDonald's might not be the worst place to look.
More than burgers, then.
More than burgers. But reality is many companies don't have a solid system for training their managers, for growing their leaders, and so on, right? And the thing is, it's one of those differentiators that just it makes a big difference, right? Because your leadership is the most important people. They have the biggest impact. And if you spend no time and resources in training them, like that's you letting yourself down, right? And that happens in many, many companies, many smaller businesses. And yeah, that is
Yeah.
life.
Yeah, I'm a believer. I think a lot of us need this, right? Like I guess I'll speak for myself, but I believe others in my network and probably listening. I'll be honest, I didn't want to be a manager. I think be a bit I but you have to. There's not really much. I mean, well, there's actually a lot of Amazon sellers. They won't do everything by themselves. Actually, we have these masterminds now. We actually have one too at the summit and after summit, but we have these kind of smaller ones in Thailand we've been doing. And it's a topic they don't want to hire people. They do everything themselves because this is classic. Like they're seven figures and they're doing everything themselves. Still, I don't want to call them out on here, but they'll be at the summit. They're like, oh, I've tried and they don't do it. And I have to spend all this time teaching them and then they leave and I just stuff like this, like, which I understand. And I think that's I mean, that's my guess of the common one I've spoken to. And then, cause they like to do it. They do it themselves. They've done it. They're making money. And then management's like a different brain, right? Like a different left brain, right brain. Or what do you say like to that?
My experience is people like doing it until you have tried not doing it. So when you first have good people that do things so you don't have to, the willpower to wanting to do it again definitely diminishes, right? what I would say is most people have done it themselves, and I would say the benefit with, particularly if you're predominantly doing Amazon, is you can build a reasonable size business on your own, right? Like there's actually very few business models out there where you can build a seven-figure business just chugging away on your own, right? Like most companies, you have to hire people earlier. Amazon FBA particularly is one of them, because Amazon have such a big part of doing so many aspects of the business, right? That you in some instances can. Reality is though, right? Like what I always tell people is, what if something happens to you, right? Like if you end up in hospital, if you, I don't know what happens, but bad things can happen. And if that happens, then what happens, right? Like for me, a business is not a business until it can run without you in it, right? If a business is depending on you, it is a sometimes exceptionally well-paid job, but that's what it is. Now, there's nothing wrong with a job per se, but this is like the company owners that I talk with, the question I have to them is, do you want to build a business? If your goal is to build a business, if your goal is to make a ton of money, then you have to have a different approach, right? And that's the mindset. Like I operate so a lot with e-commerce businesses, a lot with SaaS companies, a lot with SEOs, and so often it's you can be the expert. I mean, here's the thing: you can go and hire a CEO. You can. The challenge is if you want to win a business, it's about learning management. Now, the thing is, management is a different skill than e-commerce, than SEO, than development, right? It's a different skill, but it's a skill. Everybody can learn it, right? There's no born leaders. There's no people who just get it. Like everyone have things to learn. Depending on your personality, there's different things you need to learn to succeed in management, but you got to learn, right? And reality is like simple aspects of, well, maybe not so simple, but learning to hire great people. Like that is literally in business, that is literally the simplest life hack, right? Like investing the time. And the problem is most people, they go out, they randomly hire two people. They don't really have a process. They don't really have anything. They randomly hire two people and then they come to the conclusion, oh, those two people weren't great. I didn't get much out of them. So I suck at hiring and I suck at managing and I never want to do that again. And you're like, that's a bit like going in on Amazon and buying your first product and somehow the first product doesn't work. So you just assume you can never make an income, right? Like that's not how it works, right? When you start out, like you're likely to pick a product or two that probably doesn't do exceptionally well,
That makes
right?
sense.
And it's management is exactly the same. It's just a skill. It's tough to learn. And reality is, if you want to build a business, you want to invest in becoming a better leader, right? Like you want to learn. Like I've read 400 or 500 books or something like that. But there's many ways to do it. There's many ways to start. Again, finding yourself a mentor, finding yourself a coach, something like that is very helpful. But you want to learn, right? It is a skill, and the benefit with the skill. I mean, today I run multiple businesses. I travel a ton. I love going around to events. I love networking a lot and so on. And I can do that because I have a great team or great teams in the companies running them, right? And if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to do that, right? So.
Agreed. Yeah, I think I'll just read some of my notes from that. There's a lot of nuggets there, like the training system to grow leaders. A business is not a business until it can run without you. And then, do you really want to build a business, or you want to have like a high paying job? And then management's a skill to become a better leader, maybe finding a mentor or coach, and then developing a skill, just like you developed a skill to do Amazon or ACO or SaaS or development, which I've fully agree with. And I'd like just to like my last part is from what you said is just like launching a product on Amazon. I try to tell people the same thing. You're probably going to fail on your first product, but that doesn't mean you failed in your business. I mean, I don't want to say like you prepare to fail, but you shouldn't base your success on your first product. And it's probably the same like you would say about your first hire. It's part of the process of, I guess, learning,
SaaS
right?
tool. All SaaS tool. I mean, the amount of people I know who have built, like the people I know who are successful at SaaS It is very rarely the first tool they build that is a success.
That's a good point. Yeah, so there you go. So it's a skill, and let's maybe kind of talk about some of these strategies. Like the numbers I have on my notes is like reducing workload 50% and boosting results 150%. I mean, do you have some, maybe it's even what you're kind of leading towards, and then maybe the components of your program, the effective mass management mastery.
Yeah. I would say in general, the whole mindset as a leader is spending time with your people instead of spending time doing stuff, right? So a lot of the time when leaders start hiring, they focus so much of their time and effort on still doing things. And while you need to do that for a while, and I'm not saying you should stop doing everything, but the core aspect is the second you have people working for you, your goal is to invest time in them to get more output from them, right? That's how you grow people. And my focus is generally spending more time with my people so that they grow and become more valuable and can do more stuff so that I don't have to do it, right? That's sort of a critical mindset because the amount of leaders I see that hire people and they're like, yeah, I'm too busy to talk to them. I'm too busy to train them. I'm too busy to help them out. I'm like, but you're doing it wrong. Your priorities is the wrong way around. If you have a staff, if you have people in your team, you need to invest time and effort in them because else they won't grow and you won't grow and you won't get a good output from them. And that's, I mean, occasionally you're very lucky to hire someone who just either knows stuff or figures stuff out, but most people takes effort. Like most people who are in e-com today have had a job at some point. If their boss have just said, oh, I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have time to hear what you're saying. I don't have time for anything. You would not have done a good job, right? And that's the way it is, right? Growth takes effort and it's not necessarily a ton of effort all the time, but it takes consistent effort. And that's, so when you look at my effective management mastery program, the core aspect of that is really going through what I've distilled down over the years to be the most effective management processes, mindsets, and workflows that really helps you to succeed, right? So typically in a 1-2 day workshop, I go through this. And if you get these things right, so I have 8 modules, and if you get these things right, obviously going through it is one thing, actually implementing it takes longer, but in a 2-day training, if you go and implement that and get those things right, you're better than 90% of the managers out there. And what I'm trying to say with that is it is not that difficult to get exponentially better as a leader and as a manager, right? It doesn't take that long because a lot of it is mindset, a lot of it is attitude, a lot of it is having some basic processes that just helps you do the right things. And if you can really nail that down, right? And I have adjusted my system a little bit over the years, but basically the last 15 years or so, there's been the system that I have used both for myself, but also training leaders and managers within my businesses. And like most things, like with e-commerce, it's often not, there's a million things you can learn, right? Like I could spend a month just talking management, but it's really the 80-20 of what are the things that you really need to get right to succeed, right? So similarly with e-com, right? Like you can spend weeks designing packaging on a product, right? But it's what is the 80-20? How do you find the right product? How do you, like if you understand the process for doing that well, you are significantly more likely to succeed. And that's where you want to spend the time, right? It's in the 80%. And it's the same with management, right? So yes, management is a different skill. It does take a bit of time to learn, but I would say for most people that goes through my training, if they've already managed a few people, if they've already done a few things, in 2 days they will get significant output and they will have a much better mindset to go and approach the world with in that regard.
Yeah, I did your 1 day, and it was good. I mean, it was here in Chiang Mai, and yeah, I don't want to spill the beans too much. I'll let those people participate in it, but like there was a good structure, and I think the first part was about me, right? About you, the leader, the manager, yourself, right? Like you said, the mindset and understanding. And then because everyone was, especially in Amazon, I don't know, maybe every industry, they want the hacks. We always try to do that at the summit. We have people talk about hacks. Everybody wants that, like,
Always.
cool, the tool or the magic thing I do to, like, boost my sales or improve my business. But yeah, I think what you go through is, like you said, timeless, evergreen. I think it's, although I do want to wonder what you think about this AI world. I mean, do we need as many humans and managers now? Is, I don't know if I want to go off that rabbit hole, but I've been telling my team, I'm still keeping my core team, but I do think that is changing. I mean, like, maybe it'll just be less people, but it might be even more important to have them ready.
Yeah, I would say the way I look at it is people just become way more productive. So like we haven't fired anyone because of AI. And I mean, we have about 350 staff across the businesses, right? But our focus is not firing people. Our focus is getting more out of the people we have. So if our lead generators can get 5x the amount of leads, great. That means the business is growing, right? If our different people can deliver way more, and that's how I look at AI. Like AI is a capacity to scale, to do things faster, to do things better, to do things more consistent, right? So we do a ton of automations and stuff, but my goal is not to eradicate people. It's basically just to get more output from them. So for me, fundamentally, what's happened in our business, I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail, but one of our companies, we've doubled our profit margin, right? So we're basically delivering way more. Like the impact for the customers is still the same or better, but we're delivering significantly more work with the same capacity. And that just means that there's a lot more money in the bottom line.
Yeah, similar messaging. I had a call. I have a smaller team, about 10 core people, and I told them similar. I said I could take the easy way out and make the excuse that we're downsizing, but I just think you have to just output more, and we have to just use these tools, not hide from these tools, right? If you don't embrace it and you don't increase your productivity and output, then there's gonna be a problem. But as long as you're like improving and using these tools, this makes you think there's gonna be even more, I guess you can say, opportunity for those that do it, but also a huge issue for those that don't do it, the companies and the people, right? So it's more important than ever, I'd say, to learn these tools, like, and implement these systems.
100%.
So let's go to the challenges that there's some classic questions. I have a like, basic outline I don't stick to so strict, but leadership and management. So that's a, is there an easy way to differentiate those, or are they the same? Or are they different?
I combine them because for me, you need it all in a good leader, right? Or a good manager. Generally, I would say you can be a leader without being a manager. So you can pick up the torch, you can lead people, you can be an inspiration to people around you without necessarily having the title of a manager. At the same time, you can also be a manager without being inspiring at all. So I would say, yes, you can separate them in that sense. But when I talk about leadership and management, honestly, I'm talking about the same thing. How do you become a person who positively influence people to be better? How do you help them deliver better? How do you help them be better people? How do you help them generally? Because for me, I meet training leaders, like in my own company, for example. It's not just that I train a manager or a leader in my organization, but it's when they become better leaders, they're better leaders of their family. They're better leaders, it's their community at home. They're better leaders as human beings. And I always firmly believe in developing leaders. And I invest significant amount of time every single month in helping and growing people that are outside of my realm of influence necessarily or by nature, right? So I spend quite a bit of time wherever I am in the world, going out, coaching people, going out. Like I love meeting young people and really trying to help them become better at that aspect, right? Because it's easy to look at the world around us and say, oh, everything is up, right? But the best thing to do is say, what can I do about it? Right, and my contribution, if you will, is that I invest time in growing and developing leaders around me, because the more better leaders you develop, the better the world will be. And it's in everything. It's how do you become a better partner? Like, it's so easy, like all people, right? It's so easy to look around and say, oh, my partner sucks. Like, here's the secret. If your partner sucks, that's your fault. What are
Exactly.
you doing to fix it, right? Like, if you have a problem in your relationship, don't start by looking at everyone else. Start looking about you. Start looking at you. Your
Agree.
problem in your business, don't start blaming everyone else. Look at what can you do different, what can you do better. If you have a problem with your friends, don't look at them, don't blame them. Look at yourself, right? So use the mirror first. And developing great people around you that just have such a positive influence on the world around you, right? So for like my leadership training and my management training, like I literally don't do any advertisement. I literally, like, I have so many referrals, sometimes from people I've never met, but they've been through it. They've had experiences with it, right? And this is the thing, like, when you're providing good, it really replicates. And this is exactly the same with your staff, right? Like, when you're providing your staff a great place to work, when you're providing your staff with challenges, when you're giving them ownership and responsibility, then they grow. They become happier. They become more fulfilled. They appreciate their life more, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm shaking my head, I'm nodding my head up and down, but I agree. I mean, I'll admit I was like that. I think maybe it's in human nature almost. And when maybe like I have a couple of kids and I try to teach, they complain too. I think it's the easy way, right? Is to blame or think it's somebody else or something else. It's not you. And I hope my kids learn this too sooner. I try to teach them, but yeah, I mean, it's really about your mindset and like you said, like thinking about what you did wrong to get to this situation, right? Like, what this relationship's not working? What did I do? Right? That's the core mindset shift that I think, yeah, you've helped me think about too.
And that's for me, that's I spent a lot of time when I was younger, so probably 15 years ago, learning to, let's say, control my emotions, right? So I think, again, exactly from this point, right? A lot of time it's used to say, Mike makes me angry, Mike makes me unhappy. And I had a very good mentor at one point who said, stop. No one makes you anything. People around you do things, and you choose how to respond to that. If you get angry, that is 100% your choice. If someone punches you in the face and you get angry, that is 100% your choice. Now, most people won't be happy if someone punches them in the face, but understanding that is your choice. So what he used to say was that if you very often, if you take whatever happened in a totally different situation, your response would be different. So if you're in a bar and someone punches you in the face versus if you're in a church and someone punches you in the face, the reaction you will have is very likely going to be slightly different. And because that reaction is different, that basically proved the simple concept that you are in control, right? And learning to take full responsibility for what happens around you and literally say, okay, someone did something that had an impact to me. How am I responding? And that took me down a different rabbit hole, learning to really look at people's intent instead of impact to me. So, for example, I was late for this thing today. My intent was not to disrespect you. My intent was not to harm you in any way, shape, or form. Now, I had lots of good excuses, but it's not about the excuses. The whole point was that my intent was to be here on time. I didn't manage to make it on time. However, someone like you could react and say, oh, this guy hates me, or he doesn't like me, or he disrespect me, or you can choose to take whatever someone else does in whatever light you want. And what I learned is It is very, very rare that people purposefully want to hurt others. Like, I have never once in my life woken up in the morning and said, I want to be a horrible human today. Right? So, very often, if we do end up hurting others, it is very rarely our actual intent. So, from that point of view, I've learned to focus a lot on what is it people do. Was the intent to hurt me? No, someone did something that ended up having an impact on me, but the intent was not actually to negatively impact me. They didn't do it for that. Now, because that had that impact, I could become angry, I could become sad, but I could also make the choice to say, well, hey, Mike did something. It had an impact on me, but I know he didn't try to harm me. So there's no point in me getting angry or getting upset or getting unhappy about it, right? And this is what I see. The biggest thing it comes down to is expectations. When you look at in business, most leaders don't communicate much with their staff, and therefore there's likely a mismatch in expectations. Maybe your staff expects certain things from you that they're not getting, and that makes them unhappy. Maybe you as a leader expect certain things from your staff. But guess what? You haven't told them. You expect certain things from them. And when it doesn't happen, you're like, oh, they suck. Well, maybe they're not doing it because you haven't communicated your desires. And this is the same in relationships. When someone says, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? Here's the thing. My perception of what that is versus another human's perception of what that is two very different things.
That's
Right?
true, yeah. I
If I
mean,
say, Mike, we're good friends. Now, here's the thing. Our perception of what friendship is, sometimes you might ask me something that I'm like, no thanks, or I don't want to do that, or whatever, or reverse, right? You might ask me something, and I'm like, no thanks. And to you, that might be friendship. Well, we're friends, so you should do this. You should be saying yes. You should be whatever. And I could be the other way around. It's like, as a friend, why would you do that? Why? That makes no sense, right? But reality is, most of relationships, most of anything that involves two or more people is so much about expectation setting, right? If you don't set expectations, the difference between what you think and what the other person think is going to be different. The more and the better you communicate about expectations for whatever type of relationship, right? Like even friendship, you hear very rarely someone sit down and say, hey, we are really good friends. When I have friends, here's what I expect. Here's what I give, right? That conversation never
I
happens.
was thinking like job description for friends or girlfriend, boyfriend or husband, wife. Yeah. I mean, my wife, yeah, like I'm more of the structured person. Maybe she doesn't like it. She's like, it's too robotic, but I should try to like, yeah, I want to make it clear. Yeah. But it's funny. There should be like a job, like a, maybe there's like some app we can make, like confirm friendship. This is the terms of our friendship. Confirm me. Yes.
But this is the thing. The thing is, we all have cultural norms from our life, right? Like, again, as I said, for you, a friend means something different than it means for me. Just because, and we have different, like, when I say someone is a friend, like, my expectation to that person is different than your expectation to someone you call a friend, right? Just because we've lived, we've grown, we have had different experiences, and therefore, naturally, that is the case. Right, and the ability to communicate to your staff, and I keep bringing up relationships because for me this is what I see the most. Right, most relationships failed due to poor communication, and a lot of the time it is due to poor communication around expectations to what is this thing we have? What does it mean to be a girlfriend? What does it mean to be a boyfriend? What does it mean to be a wife, a husband, a fiance? Like most people have this idea in their head, oh, when we get married, all of this stuff is going to happen. The other person have an expectation, when we get married, this stuff will happen. And they don't communicate it. And suddenly, there's war.
Yeah, I know. I mean, maybe I'm too robotic, but I feel like that could like you make me think of a Facebook ad friend, right? They did try to standardize that stuff, like the poking. People said Zuckerberg originally had to poke. I think they removed poke, but it's very complex. Like you said, you can't really standardize with cultures, but even just personalities and people, expectations.
But what you can do, though, is have communication.
Through communication.
So when you start going out with someone, you can say, "Hey, what's a relationship to you? If we one day become boyfriend girlfriend, what does that mean? What would that mean to you, like having a partner?" For some people, it's like, "Oh, well, the second I have a partner, we spend 90% of our time together. We mostly sit at home and we whatever, right?" For some other people, it means, oh, we're always faithful. To other people, it means, oh, we do X, Y, Z. And to some people, it's like, oh, my wife always cooks for me, and she always do this, and she always do this, and I'm supposed to do this and this and this. And we all have so different expectations. And this is so much the case with your staff. The clearer, the more consistent you communicate expectations, the better results you will get from your staff.
Makes sense. Okay, well, this has been fun as always, and I'm tempted. I'm just gonna say it, but online Teams is harder, I feel, than in person. I think you have a pretty. As last I talked to you, I know you had a pretty big operations in Davao, Philippines, and I know you have online teams, multiple businesses. I just still complain. I still complain to myself, like kind of out loud, when I'm here in my home office. I'm like. So much extra work in communication, I feel like online than in person. Because in person, you just walk by the water cooler, you kind of get that check-in, right? But with online, it's like you have to specifically do that, like in my opinion, but maybe I'm wrong. But online.
Honestly, it's very much the same for me.
Really?
I would say with online team. So my company has been mostly remote for the last 12 years, right? So
Okay.
I did remote before remote was cool. But fundamentally, eight managers, I don't see a huge difference between remote and in person, right? It is significantly easier because you get those water cooler movement and you get those natural communication points. If you're not as experienced a leader, it definitely makes it a lot easier because what I always say with poor leaders, what happens is when it goes on offline, they stop communicating, right?
Yeah.
So basically the communication level just drops, whereas that's just natural communication that you have when you're in an office. The benefit of VO from remote is that it forces you to put your communication into a framework. Whereas sometimes when you're in an office, you naturally end up talking way more with some people than with others. Whereas it's way easier remotely to actually have a similar balance between the time you invest in different people, right? Obviously, there's people you do closer work with and stuff, but I feel personally that there's the structure and the framework of having good communication is more consistent online because you have to be. If you're not, you get screwed over, right? Or you lose. But if you have good frameworks, if you have one-to-ones, if you have team meetings, if you have that sort of stuff, like you're in a better spot.
Understand. Okay. Well, that helps. And I think we could talk all day. I'm excited to have you at the summit. I see you in China next week. Let's start to wrap up. Like, where are places people can find you online and by your programs and your socials and other things you like to share?
MadsSingers.com, so MadsSingers. That is also my name on all social media, and so far I am the only human on the planet with that name, so easy to find me.
Awesome. That's lucky. I used to be, or I think I was. I have a priest in Chicago, and I think there's a couple others of me, same name. But that's awesome. And then, of course, we'll see you at the summit in November. If people, we still got a few spots left for those interested to join us. We had you last year too coming in, and this time it'll be a keynote speech, which is speaking about working with Amazon or e-commerce sellers to help them, what they've used to grow 7, 8 figures and beyond. So I'm really excited for your sharing and to get to know you more and to have you connect with the community here. So thanks for your time today, Mads, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. I'm super excited to see you all.
Awesome.
That's a wrap, Mike. Mads is definitely next level when it comes to management. His blend of corporate experience and entrepreneurial insight is truly unique.
Absolutely, Lisa. I attended one of Mads' paid workshops in Chiang Mai back in 2023, an intense full-day session that realigned my thinking on management. I'm so grateful for his passion to help us entrepreneurs.
Can you share a couple of key takeaways from that experience?
Sure. One classic is, right person, right seat. It's standard but powerful. Mads emphasizes doing personality tests to understand your team's strengths and weaknesses, then balancing your team around that. As a leader, that's your job. My favorite part, investing in your team, their skills, tools, and growth. It's a game changer.
Love that. Thanks, Mike. And thanks to our listeners. See you next time.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.